Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Well, a lot of information coming your way, including some do's and don'ts when it comes to owning a truck.
Yeah, I was victimized again through my driving prowess.
But while you were being victimized, I shall tell you a story of victory. So we have both sides of the truck spectrum coming.
Yes, sir.
Along with our usual home improvement, some hot tool talk. First, ADT. This episode brought to you by ADT, the nation's number one smart home security provider. All the latest innovation in smart home security, plus 24/7 monitoring. A team of pros design and install a secure smart home system at just for you. They have 18,000 employees with a connection to first responders who are monitoring everything. Secure smart home. They have video doorbells. They have indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app or your voice. Talk about technology. Professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors as well. Stromer's truck could use some ADT,
as you guys will hear.
ADT, safety on the go with the ADT Go app with the SOS button. So be covered with ADT.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Get it on. Got to get it on. The trade you're going to mend to get it on.
Get it on.
And you got a welcome to Ace on the House.
There you are, sir. You look so good. What are you doing with you look busy and overwhelmed. What's happening?
Running.
What do you attribute this to? Just a crazy backlog of stuff?
I was telling somebody the other day that because of where... Like, I know guys in the industry, that guys are friends of mine, like, where they just go, like, you know, like, if I say to Bill Simmons, like, hey, come on, we're on the podcast. They go, like, hey, I don't go to Glendale. You know, I'll go, yeah, you're in Hollywood. Right. You know, that's the deal. Like, I don't go over the hill.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's just guys I know that say they don't travel. They don't, they just go, like, no. You know, like, if you go, you got to do something real early in the morning, they go, I don't do that.
Yeah.
And my feeling after so many years of swinging a hammer and digging ditches and scraping asphalt shingles, like being on roofs and, you know, like I'd have jobs like the dumpster's overflowing.
Yeah.
Get in the dumpster.
Get on there and tamp
get on
and
there
jump
and
up and
use
down.
Your own weight and momentum to take the trash down. Come on.
Yeah, I think people forget at some point what real work is.
Like I was crawling up into big roll-off dumpsters and tamping down the garbage so we could make more room for me to put more garbage
of
in
course.
It. And so it's like when Jay Leno says, okay, you go to Fontana on Saturday and do that thing for Jay Leno's garage? And you're like, what time do I have to be there, Jay? That's 7:15, you know? And then you go, oh, okay. And then when Jimmy says, hey, it's Bean's last day of a 30-year career that kind of got us started. I'm going in studio at 7.
Yeah.
You want to join me in studio and sit in studio? What do I do? Tell him to fuck off?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
It does, except for there's no room for sleep. In the mix,
right.
that's the problem. But how can you say no to Leno or
you
Kimmel
legends,
or going and doing this stuff?
No.
You know,
versus tamping down garbage.
It's a beautiful
opportunity, is what you're saying.
Has anybody ever, Matt or Gary, if you ever stood in a trash can and tried to use your own weight to get the trash down?
Never.
Ooh,
you are
wrong
not
answer.
In the elite fraternity. Stromer, you have.
Sir, I just was in the trash can yesterday tamping down my own leaves and my own garbage green can.
Really?
And I hold my basketball backboard in my driveway and use it as a support as I'm jumping up and down.
Does that trash can have wheels on it?
It does, sir.
Oh, that's
and
how we're going to find you.
Broken neck and all. Yeah.
Well, I've done it in the little barrel kind.
Yeah.
And I've done it on the construction site, the big dumpster kind. But yeah. I've not done the municipal.
Do the municipal wheel one as long as you have a body or a pole or fence to hang on to. If you try and do it free ball, it's dangerous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how guys go.
I just had a horrible experience with the old pickup truck, the brand new one. Someone the other night during the windstorm shattered my left rear driver window, stole two pair of my favorite pants and my files, and that's all.
Who gets their car broken into anymore?
But steals my pants.
Who steals pants?
And they took a compressor out of the back bed, which was left in the truck by me.
Yeah.
But I was not disappointed by the compressor because I have tools stolen so often. It's like, I get that. But my pants, these were Fall Raven. Mm. Have you ever seen these pants? FJALLRAVEN. My favorite pants in the world.
All right.
Stolen.
This may be weird, but I did buy some used pants recently from a guy who looked a little dubious. I got street pants sale guy, know. He just said they were too big for him. He's a smaller guy.
Small man.
And I think they were called Fall Raven. And I'll let you see the police.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
$164 later, the back rear window.
He kept saying, I never stole these pants. And I kept saying, I've never asked. But now that I think back on it, I think he protested too much.
The reason I like them is they had the stretch in them. You know,
there was some tempered glass that was in one of the pockets.
Shards.
Yeah. It looked like it came from a side window.
Isn't that terrible?
First off, who steals pants?
I don't understand. I don't understand.
What? All right. I'm going to give
you. And by the way, there were a pair of what's the brand name for the shoes by what's her name's husband, the rapper husband?
Oh, Yeezys.
Yeezys. There were a pair of Yeezys in the car.
My son's
shoes. He left the shoes in the car. Those are like $1,200 shoes. Someone gave them to him. They did not take the Yeezys, so that leads me to believe it was someone who does not understand that Yeezys are valuable.
Probably narrowed it down to either Jewish or Hispanic. And that can't go any further than that.
Strummer was giving me the eye this morning.
Yeah, I was. I looked at your pants and your shoes.
Your people are famous for stealing slacks. They're in the schmarta business.
Schmartas!
So, all right, I'm going to give you a choice.
Yes, sir.
Pancake compressor, M-Glow weenie style, double tank weenie style.
It was the pancake. It was it was the Porter cable one, the red one. They stole it. I've had like 30 of them. They're like disposable razors in my world.
It's a crazy. I mean, what are those things? $89.
Now they're like $80. Yeah, on sale. Usually about $115, $120, but they're on sale. $89. But you know what? Whatever. Who cares about my pants?
You guys don't know a world where a nail gun and a compressor were big ticket items.
Huge.
I remember. There'd be one dude who had the framing gun on a construction site. He brought that thing in a violin case pulled it out.
And everyone went,
pull that thing out of, sack he made out of 5 Crown Royal bags, and like Don, like the Lion King,
That's it.
And it was like, that guy's got a
He's got money. He's got
nailer.
It. He's the man.
The first nail gun I ever bought way used from Tom Johnson. I bought a little compressor and a nail gun. But a compressor was expensive back then. And
huge.
You couldn't go to Home Depot and get the whole brad nailer, pin nailer, finish nailer.
No.
They didn't have all that junk.
No, there was tool specialty stores.
He sold me a T nailer.
Oh.
It was like a finish nailer, but it had a T head on it.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know where or why, but he sold it to me.
Yeah.
I later on bought a palm nailer.
Oh, those are badass. Those are amazing.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
I ended up going across town, over the hill, onto like Olympic or something.
Yeah.
I told Paul Bryan this once. I said, I was on a quest to find a palm nailer.
Yeah.
It's a little. it takes a single nail, put it in your palm.
Yeah, but what people might not know is you can get your hand up between joists or small areas and hammer something that you couldn't get to.
Now you just kind of screw everything so you don't have to deal with it.
Right.
And Paul Bryan was like, my father-in-law owned that little tool shop and still does.
Which one?
On the west side. I got
you mean
Gary,
the one right off of...
There's one
right off the 405.
There's one like off of Sepulveda and Olympic or something, and it's like a little.
I went to that place.
You know, I'll tell you what you get in those shops that you don't get in Home Depot.
Knowledge.
No. Smell.
Yes.
Okay, it's like.
Yeah.
It smells. It's like somewhere between old linoleum and non-detergent oil or something like compressor oil or something. You go, it smells.
But
good.
you get knowledge and a point of view. Like people actually have a point of view about what they're selling, which is lovely.
Yeah. So that turned out to have a Bryan connection.
Jeez.
But I remember tools would get stolen all the time. Westwood Power Tools. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
you're right.
It was Gary found it. It was expensive.
Wait, things that's were, Bald Bryan's dad.
Bald Bryan's father-in-law.
Father-in-law.
Owns that place.
Wow. It
still does.
I probably spent 10 grand there over the
really?
Years. Yeah.
I love that
place. It's
amazing,
place. Yeah.
So, I mean, going to the big box store is fine, but there's something nice about the guy.
You
got to
have a guy that, you know, is talking about he's got a missing finger and he's been in the business. He knows what works, what doesn't, and why you use it and what's the best application. I mean, it's a big deal.
I had a... Finish gun. I had a T-Nailer, and then I bought this, like, not a Bostitch, but a something Finish gun. But again, the second Finish nailer I bought, the thing was like $340 in 1988. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, it was a week's paycheck.
Sure.
It was literally a week's paycheck to buy a Finish gun.
Right.
And
but you took care of it. You loved it. You really, it worked, right? It was fantastic.
Yeah, eventually my loser carpenter buddies would want to borrow a Finish gun. You know, it was a big deal. Like, this guy's got a Finish gun.
Right.
You know?
And
it's hard to do Finish work without a gun, man. I mean, some of the earlier stuff we do would be like drill a little pilot hole, get a cup and nail, like a Finish nail, and put it
get
in
an
with
awl, a tiny
nail
little,
set.
Your nail set, yeah.
A nail set,
yeah,
and put in with the nail set.
Right. And little different size head diameters for the different nails you're
nail
using.
Nail set, you get the 3-pack.
Yeah, that's it.
What are you working on?
Well, I'm still doing the woman finally decided after almost 3 or 4 weeks on a color. Guess what color it is?
Same lunch. Okay. I'm. Let's see.
Three
Swiss coffee.
Gray.
Gray. The same color she started off with in the first place.
Gray.
Did you get your truck busted into in front of your house?
Yeah, right in front of the house. They came in. It was the night of one of the windy wind storms in my area where I live, and I couldn't hear anything because there was so much wind. And I came out the next day, and there it was, gone. Everything's gone. And I was like, no! Like the scene, what's the movie with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman?
When they open
when they find
box.
The head in the box?
Seven.
My pants!
Wait, it's seven?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're my pants. My buddy Chris... You guys, people don't realize how expensive tools are now, or how cheap they are now and how expensive they used to be. They also don't realize how heavy they were.
They were so heavy. And even like to, you know, overhead work, I used to get the bursas in the elbows, right?
Mm-hmm.
From holding heavy guns or hammering in a weird angle upside down like that. Now it's so easy and mechanized. You don't get the injuries.
Gary.
Yes, sir.
First gen Makita chop saw, I think they had a big boy with like a 14-inch blade.
Yeah, to carry that thing.
That thing was iron, man.
Yeah.
Stuff wasn't aluminum or nylon or no, whatever. It was iron.
Yeah.
My buddy Chris, some guy stole it from the back of his truck, but the thing weighed 160 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, that guy was trying to run down the street with it, but it's like trying to steal an anchor off a battleship.
Incredible.
I remember like working some houses and some jobs like up in Laurel Canyon or whatever. It's like park on the street and take a bunch of steps up the thing above the garage. That thing was such a brute.
It's that
bust
base.
Your ass.
That was the heavy part.
It's an iron base.
Yeah.
This thing was so goddamn heavy, and compressors were heavy. Everything was heavy.
Right.
Now everything is light and everything's cheap. Yeah, all right.
Totally. 100%.
Well, I'll tell you what's not cheap. It's not expensive, but it's not cheap. Not cheaply made. Danner Boots. Thanks to Danner, who's sponsor. Ace on the House, because they believe in us and they believe in quality and craftsmanship. And I also want you to follow your own path. And while you're following it, why don't you wear those Danner boots and look good? For 80 years, Danner's made boots for those who have their own trail to blaze. They don't follow others. That's right. They have the Bull Run boot, iconic style and legendary craftsmanship, timeless design for men and women, unmatched quality and durability to stand the test of time. You need a good boot. You look smart. You look fashionable. It's also a safety issue as well. Hand-built in the USA with durable, full-grain leather uppers and stitched-down construction for strength and stability. And you can find yours at danner.com. That's danner.com. Great boots, you guys. danner.com. All right. What do you got there,
Well, we actually have a break-in related email question on the topic of said things.
Break-in crimes.
It's just coincidentally, it's the one we had lined up. Email is from Brett. Hey, Adam and Eric. My family owns an apartment building in St. Paul that's about a century old, and recently someone broke in the front door.
Wow.
There is some damage to the veneer of the original door itself, but as shown in the photos, the door jamb took most of the beating from a Slim Jim or other tool. Do you have advice on repairing the veneer of the door and make it more secure? It's large, very sturdy, perhaps why it sustained so little damage, but I think perhaps it's time to switch out the original lock altogether. The screws that hold the handle plates in it are loose. They can't be tightened. I think they might be stripped. Any advice on repairing and securing the door jamb? I want to preserve the door as much as possible. He's an amateur. There you go.
It looks like Wolverine was at the house, doesn't it? It's like slashing the side of the thing there.
Yeah, the thing about doors is the lock is only as good as the jamb it's going into. And if you take a jam, anyone has installed locks or deadbolts or whatever, by the time you're done drilling a 7/8 hole or squaring it up with the chisel or doing whatever it is, there's not a whole lot of meat left on that jam sometimes. Right. If the person just gives a good kick, it's just going to blow it out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they do have, I have done, so there's a crude way of doing this. You can take L iron, you know, 2-inch L iron and, you know, put it on the side. So here's the thing. You have a door jamb. And then you have, which is one by material, and then you have a trimmer, jack stud, or whatever they're calling it behind it. That's two by four material. You want to get into the two by, you want to get past the one by and right. into the two by, because the one by can blow out very easily.
Right.
The two by is more difficult. They make plates that you can put on and bolster the jam.
Right. Beef it up, yeah.
Ultimately, the old door probably doesn't have enough throw in the old lock.
Oh, to clear it.
Yeah. If you go with a modern day deadbolt, the throw of the bolt will go far enough to get through the one by and into the two by. And
also, yeah, because you're right. If you have, if you're only in the superficial veneer in the front, you can just kick it down, right?
Easy. And also, when you put your strike plate on, you want the screws to put the strike plate on to go deep enough to go through the one by and get those screws into the two by behind it. Gary, what's the throw on an average deadbolt? I know the bores. Inch and an eighth, inch and a quarter, and I know the setback is either 2 3/4 or 2 1/4.
But the minimum throw, length for
two. Well, just to the average throw on a deadbolt has to be
inch and a half. Right?
I'm saying 1 3/8 is the minimum. Let's see.
The average length of a deadbolts come in varying bolt or throw lengths. The minimum length for a secured deadbolt is 1 inch. If the bolt extends into the frame at least 1 inch, it is more difficult for a thief. Yeah, so minimum of 1 inch, but it says it varies.
Try to get something with a good throw and then have it extend into the wood, the 2x dimensional lumber behind the 1x jam, and then put one of those. They have security plates. Like if you go to Home Depot, you go to the lock department, whatever. They have beefy plates. I mean, some of that stuff looks a little wanky because it's what it is. It's not made to be from a simpler time when people didn't kick in people's doors or steal their slacks. Scoundrels.
Look at how beautiful the doorknob is, though. It's going to be a shame to lose that. It looks like a vintage, beautiful old sort of brass doorknob.
I'll tell you what I would do. I would leave all the existing stuff in place, and I would do a deadbolt, and I wouldn't do a, Gary, what are they, 2 1/4 or 2 1/8? I can't remember. I'd do an 1.5-inch deadbolt.
Right.
They have a smaller deadbolt.
It gets through everything, gets beyond the actual, superficial.
You drill it. No. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying they have deadbolts that you do the bore in the door 2 1/8 and put it in. And then they have deadbolts where you do the bore in the door at 1.5 inches. They have smaller deadbolts that don't take up as much space or look as intrusive, and you can get nicer style ones that are just less impactful. And most standard is 2 1/8. Yeah, 2 1/8. And they do some 1.5-inch.
Do you want him to try this himself if he's a novice? Or I think he should have a blacksmith do it.
Yeah, that's a bitch. It's a bitch. But I would ask, I would see about getting 1.5-inch bore one.
Yeah.
It's just not as intrusive.
Have you had much break-in in your life, in your own world, like your house is broken into or cars?
I had a pickup truck, and I didn't lock the doors sometimes. I've had 2 vehicles attempt to be stolen. The pickup truck multiple times.
The same one?
Yeah, the same pickup truck. It had a stereo in it.
Of course it did.
I painted it brown, so I defiled it, so it couldn't be stolen. And then the truck was stolen, but I had a fuel cutoff switch I put on.
Oh, good. I had a tweaker neighbor boy steal my pickup, joyride, abandon it in a field. That was fun.
It's so funny. I love hearing your tales of woes on vehicles. I had a Datsun Z car that a guy had like a master key to, and he tried to steal that. But I would put fuel cutoff switches.
That's a great idea.
In my car.
Yeah.
Now, you kids can't do it anymore because you have all this modern fuel injection and computers, and it would throw everything off.
Sure.
I just had a fuel pump in the back, electronic fuel pump, and a carburetor in the front.
Really? And you installed that yourself?
No, I cut the...
You just intersect the going to the carburetor with something before it gets there?
No. Going to the fuel pump.
Going to the fuel pump. Oh, okay.
Come on. I just clipped the wire.
I see.
And all I did was get... I got about 2 length of like 6-foot wire from Pep Boys.
Yeah.
And I got a little toggle switch that I just screwed on, just a little... generic chrome toggle, metal toggle, $4.
Yeah.
And I just put it underneath my bench seat on the floor, like just sort of under the carpet a little bit or whatever. And I took the wire and I just cut the wire that's one of the wires. I don't even remember. Didn't matter which wire. It's one of the wires that was going to the fuel pump.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, wire nutted, probably put some black tape on it, whatever, tucked it up, ran it under the side of the truck, and just put it onto the switch.
Why did you do this? Did someone tell you that it was like a theft prevention? I mean, who would come up with this idea?
I was probably like 26, 25, 26. here's what happened.
Okay.
I had piece of shit pickup trucks my whole life. I bought this Nissan standard bed, standard cab, bench seat, you know, 4-speed, four banger,
yeah.
two wheel drive, just the most basic Nissan pickup you could buy. But it was a 1984, and this is like 1989.
So and, it was the best you've ever had.
It was like practically new.
Wow.
And my, you know, but it had, you know, 31,000 miles on it. And my buddy Chris had it and he sold it to me. And not only that, it had a Sony digital stereo in it.
No.
So it was like, this is a regular car. It didn't have air conditioning. It didn't have, you know, carpet. It had a bench seat. It didn't have buckets or headrest. It didn't have anything, but it was still a newish truck.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, man, this is all I got. This is the most important thing I have.
Right.
And I was driving around that truck like Bishop Don Magic Wand driving around a Rolls Royce. I was like, I'm in a truck that was made 5.5 years ago. Like, jeez. This is a big deal. So I had a girlfriend who was a stripper at the time.
Thank God.
Yeah. Not a real stripper. She worked at like, I don't know, like some topless place.
Were you disappointed that she wasn't a real stripper?
Well, I mean, what I mean is it was like flash dance strip place, okay. You know? It wasn't really like seedy, dicey,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got thrown out of a, I didn't get thrown out. I was renting a room in a house
yeah.
and it got sold out
yeah.
from like the person, his mom was like a realtor and she said like, you guys can live here and pay rent. Until we sell it. And then
yeah.
they sold it, and now I was out.
Yeah.
And I started dating this chick, and she had a single apartment on Franklin on the hill.
They all have one. Everybody's got a Franklin gal
and,
at some point.
And there's no parking in her yeah. apartment building,
yeah.
and there's only street parking in Hollywood.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't have insurance on this truck. And someone's going to steal the truck,
yeah.
and they're going to steal my stereo because yeah. everyone broke
into everyone's. Because it's digital, for God's sakes.
Digital Sony.
Yeah.
And so first thing I did when I knew I was going to move in with her is I painted the stereo brown.
to just make it look crap.
Yeah, I just took a piece of tape and yeah. I put it right over the digital readout.
Yeah.
And I just spray painted. I just defaced
yeah.
defiled it. And then I put in this switch. And the switch, I figured out, because the carburetor had float bowl in it.
Yeah.
And you could shut off the pump, fuel pump, and you could still drive for like quarter mile.
Yeah.
And then it'd start bucking, and it was out. That meant the fuel bowl.
And did you test it? You tested it when you tried it?
I tested it, and I yeah. tested the length.
Okay.
Like, if I knew when I was pulling up, like, when you turn off a Highland, you start going up Franklin, shut it off. When you get to the top, it'll be dry.
Oh.
So I wouldn't always remember to flip it off
yeah.
beforehand, but I would usually remember like, oh, I'm pulling up to this four-way stop sign and my apartment's two blocks down. If I flip it here, it'll be pretty low. I don't want to run out of gas,
right.
you know, but it'll be low. And so when I get my car stolen, I just go out on foot.
If you could find
I just go I would go. I remember thinking I was pointing this way
yeah.
on Franklin or later on Carpenter Street in North Hollywood when I moved again and got stolen again. But I was like, what direction was that truck facing? And I was like, facing that way. I just started walking.
And it would show up in front of you a couple of blocks down, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, because if you think about it.
That's an unusual premeditated way of protecting someone's vehicle. I don't understand how you came up with this idea.
I'll tell you why it's diabolical. You didn't even have to hide the switch. The switch was just down between my legs, like on the floor,
right.
you know, because they would start the car up. They would take the car off, and then the car would act like it was running out of gas.
Right.
And you wouldn't look for a kill switch because you started the car and pulled away.
That's it.
So they just get out of the car. The one thing I never did, Gary, I never bothered, and I should have, to hook the switch up to the fuel gauge. Because
it showed it.
Because then if I flipped the switch and the fuel gauge went all the way dead, and then the car went dead, the person would think they were just the unluckiest thief in the world and that they stole a car that was essentially out of gas. Like they could start it with a master key or a screwdriver, and they could drive it 100 yards and then it'd start bucking, like blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It ran out of gas. That's what it did. And the person wasn't there to fuck around. It was 2 a.m. You know,
they just want to get away.
They had to just walk away from the car and they would just leave it. The stereo was in it.
Hey, let's do a little business. Zorro, Zorro.com. Find everything for businesses of any size in almost any industry. Tools and equipment, safety, office and cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. Zorro.com, Z-O-R-O. Brands you know and trust. Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider Electric, and Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. Fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Visit Zorro.com/ACE to sign up for Z-Mail and get 15% off your first order. That's Zorro.com/ACE.
All right.
There it is.
That's Zorro.
There's your Zorro.
This is what we use.
Yeah.
At Zorro.com.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's, by the way, you can get so many. I mean, the choices are amazing once you go online. You're not going to believe
it. I got tools and the supplies there.
Every single thing.
All right. Let's see. Someone's from Cutter. Is that his name? From Boulder, Colorado, 34. Cutter?
Hello?
Hey. What's going on?
Hey, Adam, Eric.
Hey.
Great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, man.
I got a concrete question.
All right.
I got leading up to my house, there's basically 16-foot by 4-foot piece of concrete that's raised up about 8 foot off the ground level, or at least that's what it looks like. I don't know how far it goes into the ground, but right in the middle of the thing, it's kind of sinking or splitting, or I don't know what you call it, and there's like a 1 inch, maybe 1 1/4 inch gap, and it looks like all crumbly, and I've tried to put concrete in there to just kind of paste over it, but it just crumbles out after a couple of years, so I don't know what to do.
All right. You tried to put mortar, concrete, or cement, or did it have aggregate in it like concrete does?
I think it would have been cement. The bag said cement, and it was done when some other guys were here doing a job with cement, doing a good job on another place, but I grabbed some of that and just tried to slap that on. Probably not a good move. But
I'm trying to figure out. You say it's about 1 1/4 inches wide.
It's if you're walking toward it, it's 1 1/4 inches. It's it's 1 1/4 inches increase in elevation. So it's a little shitty looking step. I don't know.
All right, I'm trying to picture, I don't know if you can, Stromer, what you're trying to achieve. Are you trying to level something, or are you trying to fill a crack?
Fill it and make it so that, people can walk. I think leveling it is going to be a huge job, and I'm not trying to go for that. So I'm thinking fill it and make it so that, people could come over and not notice that there's a problem.
And so is it on a hill and is there movement and what's the situation with the is it a pathway that's going into the place?
There's no hill. It's about a 60. The house was built in 1958, so it's an older house. There's no hill. I think it's just kind of settled.
I'm having difficulty picturing exactly what this problem is. I can tell you that there's a lot of products that are not cementuous. How do we say it now?
Yeah, cementuous. Yeah,
I think you pronounce it a different way.
Cementitious?
There's another way of pronouncing it.
I think I've heard you say cementitious before.
Cementitious is probably how you're supposed to. I like cementitious better.
Yeah.
There's a ton of products that are out there now, including epoxy-based stuff and things like that. I would avail myself of one of those newer products to try to fill this crevasse up. I can't, from his description, I don't exactly picture what he's talking about.
What street are you on? I used to live on the right by the DG house there in Boulder for 4 years. I used to shoot pork chops across the street and hit the DG house window with a huge slingshot made of large
Really? Is that a frat house?
It's a sorority.
A sorority house.
Yeah, I could launch meat products from my deck.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Where are you in Boulder?
Oh, I'm in the city limits, but I'm on the outside of town. I'm on Manhattan Drive.
Boulder's beautiful.
Boulder's
man.
A good spot.
Boulder's
man.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good town. It's full of crazy people, but
Yeah, it's a little too crunchy. Isn't the Shelby Museum in Boulder?
What does it say again?
The Shelby Museum. Isn't that in Boulder?
I will have to look into that. I don't know.
Look into it. I'd say the Shelby Museum is not more than 7 miles from where you are.
Was he a Colorado guy, Shelby?
No, not at all. He's a Texas guy, and he was a California guy.
There is a Shelby. The Shelby American Collection is on Chaparral Court in Boulder, Colorado.
Why would it be there, I wonder?
There's some fella, and he started buying Shelby cars, and he started buying GT40s and Daytonas and Shelby Cobras and Mustangs, and whoever this rich fella was way ahead of the curve because he was buying significant Ford GT40s for, I don't know, probably paying $3 million for cars that are $30 million.
That's what they are now? A Shelby's $30 million?
A GT40, the right GT40.
Jeez.
The Daytona they have there, I don't know, $30 million, $25 million.
Do you have one of those?
No, I don't have any Daytonas or I know Pete Brock, the guy designed and built the thing, and it's all kind of with this new Ford v Ferrari movie coming out. It's kind of crap. But now when this movie comes out, all that shit's going to go up
even
in price.
More. Jeez.
Crazy time,
right? It's
amazing. Right? The GT40s, I've always said that's an undervalued car, even though it's always been millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But a Ferrari GTO is $65 million, and that's $9 million. And I think that Ford GTs they're going to go up after what Matt Damon and company do with those cars.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Matt, back to
the cement. Let's finish this.
I don't know what to say to him.
I think that if it's a crack in the concrete, you can either channel it out and fill it with some of the epoxy style patching compounds that are available. And if it's too big of a crack, cut it out and start over and either dowel in rebar and pour it so that it combines and joins with epoxy or just do small. If it's a small crack that's under an inch wide, fill it with some kind of epoxy. Don't you think?
All right. You got an email question? Go ahead.
I can tease it if you want.
Okay. Let me hit Tommy John. Tommy John, they don't give an F. They give 3 F's.
Yeah, they do.
Fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. They got the no wedgie guarantee, comfortable, stay put waistbands, luxurious, soft, feather light, moisture wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching or riding up. You don't have to, roll down the legs or pick them out of the buttocks. They stay
put. I'm sorry, the what?
The buttocks.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And if you don't love your first pair, they'll give you a full refund. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. You can shop for Tommy John if you don't want to go online in over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. So these guys are the best. They give 3 F's, man. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Matt?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Wait, have you driven the Shelby? Any of those? Any of his car design?
Definitely not a Daytona Definitely not a GT40. Probably a Shelby Mustang, but not a Cobra. I've never driven a Cobra.
You've never driven the Cobra. No, and that's a fast-ass car, too, right? Like, just a zero, straight-line fast. Not really performance so much, but just fast going point A to point B, right?
No, no. It was built as a Corvette killer. They wanted it to beat the Corvettes, and they wanted to beat it on road courses.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like Riverside.
I didn't know that. Wow.
And all the sports car racing clubs. So Corvettes were sort of unbeatable, and then the Cobra came along, and they smashed the Corvettes. But on road courses, not in the quarter mile. They did make one or two like drag Cobras set up a little differently, you know, for the quarter mile, but that wasn't really their thing. Their thing was sports car racing.
Huh.
And later on, they invented the Cobra Daytona because they had to get the aerodynamics for Le Mans and Daytona and places that had long straightaways.
Wow.
There you go.
Cool stuff.
All right, what do you got?
Well, we got another email question here, and as always, please email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the pictures. Hey guys, get it on. My wife and I bought a beat-up house in a nice neighborhood a couple years ago. According to our neighbors, all the previous owners were lazy pieces of shit. They did minimal to no maintenance. My issue is that our refrigerator backs the same wall as our master bedroom, and we just happen to have our bed up against the opposite side of the wall where the fridge is.
Hold on. We're looking at a weird split picture that almost kind of looks like a corner.
Doesn't it?
But they just did a... So the back of the bed is against where the fridge is.
Yeah.
Is that where they got like a wood headboard and that the fridge is in there? Okay, keep going. Sorry.
He says if it's really quiet in the house, you can hear it whenever the compressor kicks on, which is very annoying at night. I want to take the fridge out temporarily and sound deaden the wall as best as possible. I've heard you guys talk about quiet rock, so I was going to cut out the drywall behind the fridge and replace it with that. While I have the drywall out, I figured I might as well put something in the bays to help further the soundproofing. Do you have any suggestions for this? I figured the denser the product I can get in there, the better it'll work. Our kitchen is already pretty small, so I don't want to do anything that will push the fridge out. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, you have ½-inch or 5/8 drywall. You could go over it and push it out a ½-inch or 5/8.
Yeah.
Now, I know you said you don't want to do that, but I'm just putting it out there. Doubling up the drywall with the quiet rock and the drywall definitely be helpful. If not, then cut out the drywall and put the 5/8 quiet rock.
I would do mass load vinyl too, which is just a real thin, you know, like one... maybe 1/8 thick of vinyl that is literally like so heavy you can't believe it. Put that up under the drywall on both sides of the wall, and you will hear nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that stuff's like badass.
It just absorbs the sound.
Everything. Yeah.
I insulation wise, I'd probably burn a few cans of spray foam. Like I might get some Hilti, like 5 cans of Hilti spray foam and try to foam up those bays. I mean, you could put some rigid in there. You're only going to be able to put R13 in there because you got 3.5, you know, bays. You could put, I might try to go with a foam.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small area. And by the way, when you're done, you got to get like a flat back saw and like cut it flat, you know, because it's going to bulge
out.
It'll
bulge out of the holes, yeah.
But let's just say I like your membrane idea.
Yeah,
where do you get
good.
That stuff?
Yeah, there's all sorts of soundproof websites online, and you can just look up mass load vinyl, and then you could literally overmount it to the existing drywall too. Do your foam, and then both sides of the wall, and you could put it underneath the headboard so you don't see it. I really think that would help because that's the stuff.
They
right
also
there.
Seem to have it on Amazon, but Stromer's right. There's a ton of websites if you just put in mass loaded vinyl.
Yeah, and that stuff is just—it's literally a soundproof curtain that's, you know, no thicker than a piece of visqueen. It's amazing stuff.
You could also take the refrigerator itself and maybe get it off of the plastic, hard plastic and metal feet and get it onto a quarter inch of rubber.
That's a good point, because that fridge is probably vibrating and then it's creating the sound just because of the vibration from the cabinets and the wall too.
And if you really want to get into it, the motor might be mounted solidly and you could take some Delron or rubber sort of gasket.
Yeah.
Not say donuts or knockouts or God, I'm trying to think of the word. Anyway,
yeah, and you just mount them back on the exact same place if you can.
Yeah, just put it through the screw. Yep. If there's a way to isolate.
It's a great idea.
Grommet.
There you go.
It's looking for the word grommet. Take the motor and try to isolate it on a couple rubber grommets. Yep. Would probably be helpful too.
Yeah.
Now, I would say, like, wrap the motor or something, but there'll be heat issues.
I like your grommet idea. You like my grommet idea?
Yeah,
I sure do.
All right, I like your Geico idea.
God bless you. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. How about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and guess what? You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Why? Geico.com. Just go there, Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's extra money in your pocket. Oh, man, who doesn't need that? It's the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Geico.com. By the way, my son's getting his license. It's coming next week.
Oh, he needs insurance.
He's a Stromer. You got that right, big man.
It's in his blood.
He needs Ritalin is what he needs. driving Ritalin, I call it.
All right. You can check out No Safe Spaces now at nosafespaces.com. Find out when it's coming to a screen near you. And
congratulations on that movie, man.
Thanks.
I listen to Dennis all the time, and that's a fantastic thing you did. Good work.
Thank you. Yeah. And you can check out Adam Kroll's Unprepared stand-up, adamkroll.com, coming all over the place to the scene in Reno and Oxnard and Milwaukee and Chicago. And Chassis got the Shelby American dock up and ready to go, so check that out at Chassis. Pre-order it at chassis.com. Stromer?
It's me trying to get my kid, who weighs 165 and is 6'6". Got to get weight on him.
Got to get weight on him.
Just going to feed him all weekend.
So, until next time, man. Pearl for Eric Stromer saying, mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.